You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I'd like to discuss the Yesodus of Tarovis Chometz. So now we've been discussing the Bedikas Chometz. Now we're going to Tarovis Chometz. And the Shulchan Aruch holds that if you have a kazais of Chometz in a mixture, so then a person is over on Bani Rai Bani Matzir. The two isurim that you shouldn't see chometz, you shouldn't have chometz in your possession. A chometz shouldn't be found in your possession. And for that reason, if you have a shiur of chometz of a kazais in this vessel, so then you are you're either on the Isur of Bali Roy or Bali Motzi. Now it's in Yisudoraisa, and that's the reason why you need to get rid of such the chomet, you need to either sell the chomet or remove the chomet from your possession if that be the case. Now the Maisa, there's no Isur to keep Kailim. If you have vessels that are Balua that have absorbed chomet, there's no issur to keep that chomet to keep those kelim on Pesach, because the time that is balua but kelim, the person is not even bali rai bali matzi. We sell the chomet on the kelim. Someone knowing to sell the chomet in the kelim, which is, I've not quite understood. I mean, you know, what chomet, you know, is balua in the kelim? Can you sell? Is it something that you can sell? It's difficult to conceptualize a time that you can go to somebody and sell it with, you know what I mean? And especially that it's going to, usually it's Eino Ben Yoimo anyway, which is not in time you've come. Has it got something? Is it something tangible that you can sell? Anyway, many of the Shtare Mechira actually write that the chometz are balua b'kelim. You're not going to sell the kelim to a goy, because then you're into a problem of whether the kelim would be tvilas kelim thereafter. So you don't really want to go that route. You don't want to go that route. But so now, That's about the chometz that is balua with the kelim, and there are other types of mixtures where chometz gets mixed up, where it's bottled with something else, whether you can keep it or not on Pesach, whether it's just an issur d'rabbanan to keep it, an issur d'oraisa to keep it. I don't think I need to go into all the details, because it's not really that the Mesa, but what is important is the fact that there's a chiluk between a mixture of chometz and chometz itself. The Torah tells us that an availer, there is an animal that became an availer, that was shechted incorrectly and became an availer. Says the pasuk says that you shall not eat kol lo tochal kol nevela. La'gir asher b'sharecha titnena. You have to give the nevela to a ger. So we learn out, the Chazal learn out over here, that something that is ru'uya l'ger, something that a ger toishal can eat, because array the nevela, you should sustain the ger toishav. After all, he was mekabel upon himself the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Because he was mekabel upon himself sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, as we made there's a mitzvah to look after him, and because there's a mitzvah to look after him, the Torah says one of the ways to go after him is at least give him the nevela, which you can't eat. if you're going to throw it away, it's a rotten sin to sell it to a goy, give it to the gir. However, we're going to learn out from here that only an avela that is roi to be eaten by a gir toishav or by a goy is considered an avela. I mean, it's not considered, it cannot be eaten by a goy, cannot be eaten, they cannot be eaten by a goy, is not considered a nevela midorais. Mikaradin, you can actually eat such a nevela that's already become, that's decomposed to the degree that a human being won't want to eat it. Such nevela hasn't got a shame of a nevela midorais. But midorabonon, you're still not allowed to eat it because there's a problem of achshave. Achshave means that if I take a food, even though this food has decomposed, this is not right, like it is behemoth. And Lachilas Adam still can't eat it because I've got a problem of achshavek. I machshiv it as a food. And since I machshiv it as a food, the darav some the rabbonim I'm allowed to eat it. Those are the tlalim of Neved. Okay. We've discussed this. I remember we've discussed every year we discuss this point.
If a dog will eat it, but it's not really worth to give to a dog, it's just...
No. It's not considered a nevela. You can give it to a dog. The dog will eat it. It's still not considered a nevela bichla. Can you see?
No. One second. The dog would eat it, but he'll die because it's poisonous.
No. Poison is something else.
I'm saying it is like something that's ruined to give to him. Would that already be? Even if it would eat.
I haven't mentioned the dog. The dog hasn't been involved in this discussion at this point.
Well, you're right.
At any way you found the dog from. We're just talking about if it's Rav Achilas Behem of the Achilas Adam and not Rav Achilas Adam.
So, okay, wait.
Yeah, we haven't got to the dog yet at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. All that we're discussing over here is chometz, is Shaar Isuri. Now, what about chometz on Pesach? Chometz on Pesach is different. And the reason is because chometz is an extra advantage, is an extra quality, that if you have a piece of bread, correct? If you have a piece of bread, and this bread becomes, starts becoming moldy and decomposes, so if you would want to think that if it decomposed to the degree that it's, to such a degree that a human being won't eat it, according to the klalim that we discussed, the chorid should not be considered chometz anymore because it's not roi lachi v'sodom. Comes the Gemara says, no, it's not good enough. And the reason is because it's still got an extra, it's got an added quality. It's that this bread can be used as a starter. Correct? A starter means it can be used as a machmitz. You can take a piece of bread and it can be used to start the fermentation process in other doughs. And since it's still got this quality that it can be used, this advantage that it can be used as a starter for other doughs, mele, it is considered that it's still got a shame of chometz. Chometz is not the name, the shame of chometz has not been nifkamim, it has not been annulled from it. It's still got a shame of chometz. As mele, we learn a new klalah here, that even though when it comes to other Yisurim, has to be just Nifsal Mechilas Adam, when it comes to Chometz on Pesach, when it comes to proper Chometz, like any product that is more than 50% Chometz, which is considered Chometz Behein, it has to decompose to the degree. Right, even if it decomposes to the level that is not roi lachilas adam, it's still awesome because it can be used as a stock. However, if it decomposes to such a degree, this is what you mentioned from me, and it becomes not roi lachilas behema, a kelev, a dog won't eat it, then we call it, and it won't even, can't even be used as a starter because it's considered as if it's just Afrodara, this is so decomposed that even a dog won't eat it, then well, that's something that is not considered a food. It cannot be used as a starter for any other dough. and it loses its shame of chometz. When it comes to other yisurim, when the klal is that if it's nipsa mechinas ken mechinas adam, it's already considered not asur midoraisa. You still can't eat it mitam achshuv. Comes to chometz or pesach, it's still considered chometz because it has the quality that it can still be used as a starter. And if it decomposes to the degree that it's not roi lachilas kelev, then it's already baka mimenu shem chometz, and it hasn't got a shame of chometz anymore because it can't be used as a starter. I think that is pretty clear, right? That is klalim are pretty clear. Now, you still can't eat the bread that is decomposed to the level of that a dog won't eat it. Again, for the same reason that we said previously, mitam achshave will be considered, because machshave this food, there's still an issur derabon to eat such a thing. But midorais, it hasn't got a shame of chometz. And by the way, this is if it decomposed before Pesach. If it decomposed after Pesach, it's still got a shame of issur, no matter what, because it was something that it was a chalois of isur on it, and even if it got to the level of a dog, and the dog won't eat it, it's still considered chometz. If it was after the taif, it decomposed during Pesach. We were only talking about nes if it decomposed on Erev Pesach. If I had a mixture, all this was talking about chometz if I have proper chometz, but if I have a mixture of chometz, tarov is chometz, which the chometz ingredient is not the rov, it's less than 50%, then it goes back to the rule. If it's less than 50%, it cannot be used as a starter. Once it can't practically be used as a starter anymore, then we're back to the normal rule of, is it considered isur or not considered isur? If a person will not be able to eat such a thing, if it's not roi lachilas adam, then it goes like every other isur. It can't be used as a starter. And it follows the rules of normal isur, and that it's not roi lachilas adam. It really hasn't got a shame of chometz, and can be used on Pesach. Those are the klalim of taroves chometz, correct? And chometz is roi lachila, and chometz is not roi lachila. Okay, are we all okay over here? Are we all clear? Those are the klalim. Once we've learned the klalim, so then we can start. Applying it to our practical. We'll start applying it practically to our everyday lives. Let's take some practical examples based on the rules that we've just discussed. One, if we look at medical medicines, so then medications. Meboshe refata. מאיפה אתה? אנחנו לומדים עכשיו. בסדר? So now, I'm just bringing everybody on over here. Look at this. Let's take our medications. Our medications, all medications, most medications, many medications, this word that way, contain starch. The starch is the binding mechanism. Listen to this over here. When it comes to medications, medications have binders, have a base, which is a starch base. It's starch based. It could have kidneys. Could be made from cornstarch, or it could be made from a grain starch. However, in all these medicines, the majority of the tablet is not chometz. And even if it does contain starch and a grain starch, the majority is not chometz. It's less than 50%. If that's the case, we have a base of Tarbo with Chometz, but a mixture of Chometz over here. And if we have a mixture of Chometz, so we're back to our Klal, only this to be Zroi L'Achilles Adam. And if it's not Zroi L'Achilles Adam, so it's Mutar to have it on Pesach, if you don't eat it as food. Now, no medication is eaten as food. If you eat it as food, you've got a problem of Akshavege. But since it's not eaten as food, so you don't have a problem of Akshavege, so this is the Chazanish. Comes out that most of our medications are the Meisel Mutar to take, because they're Tarovis Chometz, and they're not Zroi L'Achilles Adam. In fact, they're probably not even Zroi L'Achilles Kelib. We don't need to get to such a level, even if it's not Zroi L'Achilles Adam. What will be mutav to eat to have it on Pesach. So that lemaisa includes all our medications that are made as in powder form. They are powder that's bound in a certain form, which is the tablets that we eat. So we're talking about Ekamal, we're talking about most of these tablets, as long as it doesn't have a sugar coating. As a sugar coating, so then it might have a certain flavor or certain, then already we can discuss, because that's considered Ravi L'Achila. But most of these medications, if they're not sugar coated, which most they are, and it might be vitamins as well, by the way. Vitamins, many vitamins are just placed into capsules. Capsules, again, they're not chomets. Capsules are not chomets. No issue really of chomets in these tablets, and most of the tablets can be eaten on Pesach. When it comes to syrups can be problematic because the flavorings can be problematic, and I just got a shout out today about a certain product that person has a pig, and he needs to take a product by the name of Nutrin, which is a nutrient type of milk. And the Bdatsi, that they have a chashashin that it could be Sofik Chometz. I sent the guy over to Rabbi Kuba to go. It's got an OU Hersha to go and find out if it's what exactly this thing is made of. That's when it comes to medications. When it comes to creams, so then we, again, it's Tarov is Chometz. Now, we have an extra union of creams, which is a problem of Sikha Kishtia, that if you rub it on you, it's like drinking. And then even if it's Nifsal, Achilles Kelev, the Gaon holds, since that's the Derech of doing it, we could have an issue. The Mishnah would have said Yerushalayim should be Machmir. The Maizon Pesach, we have others starting to be Makel. And Mika Radin are Makel. I think there's a big study to be made on Pesach with regard to all these creams, because these creams are not Ra'ui L'Achilas, not L'Achilas Adam, they're not Ra'ui L'Achilas Adam, which is all we need. They're not even Ra'ui L'Achilas Kelib. So these creams, you don't have a problem. When it comes to deodorants, deodorants actually have a majority alcohol. Since we have a majority alcohol, so we're talking about chometz bein, and that's chometz. If the alcohol was made from grain alcohol, if it's a grain-based alcohol, sometimes you get a gitnias-based alcohol. I mean, alcohol can be made from anything. It can be made from sugar, can be made from grapes, can be made from wine, can be made from grains. So it's difficult to know exactly. One wouldn't be able to tell if one's alcohol in the deodorants are made from what the source is, if it's a grain-based source or not. However, alcohol, all these deodorants are nifsal machilas kelev. Nobody would be able to drink these things. So they nifsal, since even that's rov, we said that if you've got chometz bein, if it's nifsal machilas kelev, you don't have a problem anymore, right? And these deodorants are already nifsal machilas kelev, and therefore these deodorants and perfumes, these things don't pose any issue with regard to the Pesach Me'ikar Adin. So there's one to be Machmi, can be Machmi. There's some also not. What you do need to find out about, what you do need to find out about is the is alcohol, pure alcohol that the ladies use to remove nail polish. Correct? There's nail polish remover, but sometimes they need alcohol proper. That's real alcohol. I just know that in Eretz Yisrael, most of the alcohol to date, I have never heard, I found out every year, almost every year, and the alcohol that they sell, which is pure alcohol, 70% alcohol, is usually grain based. It's not based on grains. Every single year it's happened. But remember, there are importers that can really get it from anywhere. According to the Badats, every year I found out, and the Mesa, they were not based on grains. But it's something to be aware of.
Is this fresh equipment less a problem?
What are you saying?
A spray deodorant, is that even less of a problem?
Say again.
There's nothing, a spray.
Sprays, yeah, these sprays aren't problematic.
Not problem, right?
No.
Less.
The other. Yeah, what type of spray? His spray?
No, like Right Gardens and the spray can.
Yeah, that's a deodorant. They do have those. Those are actually alcohol based, and there's.
But a spray can't be used, can't be eaten.
Well, I mean, theoretically it could. It's just that it's problem. They denature it. Once it's denatured, it's not really like it's killing.
So it's not a problem. It's not a problem at all.
Yeah, not a problem at all.
Can you please record for me? I've got to go now.
Goodbye.
And yeah, it's being reported.
I've got to go for a meeting.
Okay.
I just want to ask very quickly. Toothpaste. Yeah. It's a chumra, isn't it? Looking for Heksher.
Well, this is what we. Toothpaste is actually Taroves Chomet, could be Taroves Chomet. It's not Rai Lachila. Again, it's a Chomra, but since we put it into our mouths, we actually are more interested in getting a Heksher of it, but you can rely on a Heksher Rabbanut. Good enough.
Okay, I have to go now. Please record the rest of the shiur and I'll listen afterwards. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Okay. So now that's with regard to Taroves Chomet. And with regard to our deodorants and our creams and everything that goes with it, I think that makes it very clear. Anybody got any questions over here before we go to the next point?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Okay. When it comes to kashering the kitchen. Right? So there's a famous rule of if something when it comes to kashering as it absorbs, so we give it out. Correct? So it gives out if it absorbed isur, it gives out the isur in a similar way. Correct? Now the question is So that means that something that was nivla, listen to this, something that was nivla, that swallowed, absorbed chomets in a kli rishon, in a pot that was on the fire, I'm talking about kli rishon ala esh, the only way that you can kasher it is to put it into hot water in a kli rishon on the fire. If it's irim in kli rishon, so then you just have to do, if it's swallowed, it's irim and clear rishon, pouring from a clear rishon. That's how you have to kasher it. If it's klishang, then you kasher with klishay. Now, when it comes to kashering can only be done with something that kashering is as hagone, is only done for kalim that swallowed the isur with cooking. Or alternatively, swallowed the isur off the fire, absorb the isur off the fire. Then you can do hagodas kelim. But if something's absorbed the isur by without liquids, it's absorbed it on the fire without liquids, but then kashering doesn't really help with the hakolas kelim. The hakola won't really help. You need to do libun chomer. Now, libun chomer is about probably about 450, but Moshe says 450 degrees Celsius. It gets to 450 degrees Celsius, then it gets to the level that the level, it doesn't, it's not considered that it, what actually happens is that the heat actually burns out that which is in the clay, and the clay will then become kosher again. Now, we have another, these are the klalim of Hakonas Kalim. We have another form of libul, which is called libul kal. Libul kal means that you bring the, you heat the clay up to such a degree, to the degree that if you put a straw on the outer side of the clay, that that straw will burn. That's called libul kal. That libul kal is the same level of havashoran, the same as the same darga of havashoran as hagolah. Doesn't have the same darga bachshara as libun chomer. Those are the klalim of hagolas kelim. In a nutshell, that's the whole of hagolas kelim. Now all we need to do is we need to apply. Let's take an oven for instance. Right? How do you kasher an oven? Now an oven, things are absorbed into the oven trays, without water. People put borekas onto the oven trays, or they put the borekas onto baking paper on the oven tray, which is the same thing. Now the oven tray is now absorbed with chometz without water. So how do you kasher it? I just want to tell you something. We won't get too complicated over here, but we said the maaser that that something that was balua lidei esh, if it's swallowed the fire, which is the borekas in the oven trays. So you need to bring the oven trays up to a, in order to makshir the oven trays, you have to bring it to a level, to a darga of makshara of 450 degrees Celsius, which a normal oven, by the way, a normal oven in the house does not get to. Okay, so you can't kasher your oven trays. It's not actually possible unless I'll discuss the self-cleaning ovens. But in a normal oven, you can't kasher your oven trays. It's not going to help. Okay? Because it doesn't get to 450 degrees. It only gets to 280 degrees, which we said was libul kal. Libul kal is if you would put a straw or a piece of cotton to touch the clay, the cotton would burn, would break. So it would have the same level as libul kal, but not the same level as libul chomer. It doesn't get to 450 degrees. So your oven trays, you're not going to be able to crush up a place. But what about the sides of the oven? Me'ikaradin, the sides of the oven don't touch the food. The sides of the oven just absorb the steam that comes out the food. Steam has got a din of liquid. Since it's got a din of liquid, so we said there's something that's got a din of liquid, as you can do hagolah to it. Over here, it's not practical to put it into boiling water. That's why we came to the other cloud, that if you bring something to the state that a straw would burn or a piece of cotton would break if it touched it, so then that is considered the same as the same darga of, it's the same darga as hachshoran, the same level of hachshoran as hagona. So with regard to the sides of the oven, a normal oven, what you can do is you can put the oven on high, and that will kasher the sides of the oven, because the sides of the oven only absorb chometz through steam. But when it comes to the trays, so the trays, you'll never be able to kasher because you can't bring it up to 450 degrees centigrade.
But then don't the sides get splashed if you're cooking open stuff in the oven?
They might get, you know what? They might get a little splash. The little splash, you know, there's rov tashmishoy. Do you know what I mean? This is mil tashmishoy. It happens just, by the way, maybe, you're right. Not always does it actually splash. So we're a bit less nervous about it. But practically speaking, is what I want to say, is that we're not going to makshir any ovens for Pesach. And the reason is because it's almost impossible to clean the oven from chametz. I've had experience with it. It's actually something that it's not really possible to do. To clean the oven is very, very difficult. You can't get rid of all the chametz from the oven, especially from the door of the oven.
Can I spray with something out of polyamide?
What do you say? You can't. You can't. It's within the doors. It's like stuck in the doors behind the.
The white spray. You spray it everywhere.
It'll
ruin the chametz.
Let me tell you something. The chametz is hiding behind the metal of the door.
Uh-huh.
That's all there. If you would open that door, you'd probably find. I remember I did it. I used to have a door that I could open and clean. It was hold on, Rabbi Yitzchak's phoning. Rabbi Yitzchak, we're waiting for you. So now I used to have an oven. It was an Electra oven. I mean, Electra was still a small company, and they made an oven. It lasted me for 20 years. And it was an oven that was made. You could change it over to Pesach if you wanted. You could change the doors in that. You could change your dad inserts. It was like one of these Swiss knives. You know, that whatever you want, you could just find it in the oven. And it was made so well that when we moved apartments from up the hill to down the hill, my wife said the time had come to buy a new oven. It was the worst mistake I did in there, because that oven would have still lasted me. And since then, I think I can't even count the amount of ovens that I've gone through.
Right.
So, can you see? Anyway, this oven, I used to take the door apart. It was easy to take it apart. You cannot believe, off the kitchen, the chametz of the kitchen was in the door, right? So I remember, so then I realized that it's very difficult to clean ovens. Right? So that's why we don't clean these ovens for Pesach. Now, when it comes to, today they have these self-cleaning ovens. Now, self-cleaning ovens get to 450-500 degrees Celsius. And this is the new thing. It's the in thing to buy an oven, clean an oven for Pesach. The self-cleaning. Am I feeling relaxed about this oven? No, I'm not relaxed about it. And I'll tell you what worries me. I've never been, I know that everybody's doing it. I just don't feel shalem about these ovens. And I'll tell you what. One guy came to me, says he's got a Electrolux. And his oven has a fan. It has a fan under the door, correct? The fan under the door. So when you put it on the self-cleaning mode, this fan goes on and cools down the oven door, so that the glass doesn't melt during the self-cleaning process. Well, if that's the case, You're not kashering the glass. You're not kashering the door. So that guy there, that goes. Another problem that I have is that when you could put it on self-cleaning mode, the oven door, where the oven door meets the oven, there is a rubber that goes around the door of the oven, which insulates the oven, correct? Where the door meets the oven, there's an insulation, a rubber insulation around. You will know it every single...
It's not rubber. It's just rubber. It's like an asbestos kind of
thing. An asbestos double thing, exactly. Yeah. It's not rubber because it wouldn't melt. Now, I just want to ask you something. When you put it on the self-cleaning mode, what happens to the glass that is exterior to that insulation? It doesn't nearly get to 450 degrees Celsius. So, and those things, those oven, that door, and the part of the glass that is exterior to the rubber, has also got chametz on it. So now what? You're not actually kashering the whole oven door. This is what worries me about this kashering process.
I mean, because that part of your body could clean. And the fafoja and the libun gal on the outside part of the glass.
Well, and libun kal to it. Correct? Who says that that really helps Avia as cleaning as the entire glass? It doesn't cush it in the heart. Only half the glass is cushioned, not the other.
It doesn't come into contact with the grass, the sewer. It comes into contact with the drill. It's against the drill.
At least the glass. Your glass is behind the drill.
Well, the glass is inside of the drill. You lift through the door.
Yes, that's actually coming into contact with the door itself.
With the door itself, yes.
Okay, so yours is different, Avia. Okay, so yours is the... Is the metal doors coming into something?
Yes, yeah, metal door.
Yeah. And then the glass is behind the door.
Yeah, the glass is within, is inside the door.
Okay, so that's a little, that would, you know, okay, so that makes it a little bit different. Makes it a bit different. And also, you know, we would have maybe starting to be makel that since the area that is the main area is the one that's getting the intense heat. The other area still gets hot, but not get to just the heat of the norm of Libun Kan. So we maybe could just tie a kobola kachbol to it and use it as a tseiruf to be matirit, you know? Maybe we could push it a bit, but it doesn't sit so well with me. That's the problem. It doesn't sit that well. All right. You know, that is a makel. I believe that they can use the coolers over here, which there are coolers, and they make it to be machshidi. But okay, with these self-cleaning ovens, you can't leave the You can't leave the what they call it, the mesilot, the rails. Did you call it in English? You know, the rails that hold the racks that hold the trays. Now, in most self-cleaning ovens, you can't leave those racks in the oven because they'll melt. And when you self-clean. But this is already a bit easier, right? Because since the food doesn't touch it, so you can just do libun kal to it. So what I do is I tell them to take it out, self-clean the oven, put the railings back in, the racks back in, and then just put it on normal mode. And that'll do libun kal because the food doesn't really come into contact directly with those, it's only with those racks. Only to just... It absorbs the steam that comes off the food, but doesn't really absorb the food itself.
Any chametz that's in the door of the oven also doesn't come into contact with the food.
Yeah, I agree. It is that, but it does. You know what happens is that as you open the door, right, people take out their cholent and it spills on the door. I've seen it. I've actually seen that there's spillages, a lot of spillages on the door. The door's really dirty. Can you see? That's what worries me. Okay. But as you make them, obviously trying to they're trying to use the coolers of and you've got, you know, a bit of a doichak, but that's what they're using. Everybody out. Have you got one?
No.
Theoretically. Okay, fine.
We used to have an American one.
Yeah, correct. I think the American ones also get about $4.55.
Used to.
I don't anymore. But everything in America is cooled down these days. Listen, Avi, only politics has heated up. Just look over here. So now that's about kashering the oven. Best thing is to buy one of these big toaster ovens, which I once bought. I then decided I'm not cleaning the oven. You know, we don't have much time to clean. My wife brings me in. You know, she already a year in advance is already working out which day I'm going to be coming to the kitchen in Erev Pesach. Can you see that? Make the Pesach, the kitchen Pesach thing. And I decided I haven't got time to clean my oven anymore, and I just sell the oven. And we don't use the oven, or we can't use the oven, so I buy a toast oven, and I bought a toast oven. That's what we use for Pesach. Microwave ovens, I do not suggest that you touch them for Pesach.
Red butter?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, we can't hear you, Reb Moshe.
We have an electric gas stove with a stovetop that has four sealed coils. We clean up the tap, we burn out the coils. Then I take a heavy-duty piece of aluminum foil and cover the entire
mouth. Yeah, yeah.
With a piece of aluminum
foil. That's bad. Electric oven with four sealed. When you turn it, listen, the electric coils on the top, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, correct. So that's fine. So you're doing fine. That's fine.
And then I cover everything anyway with one single large piece of.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Because the electric coils, the mesa burn everything that's on it. So you haven't got a problem of kashrut.
What's the aluminum foil?
What is it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What is it?
Does it mean aluminium?
Aluminium. We call it aluminium.
That's what. That's because we have aluminium. Well, aluminium.
Just be careful you don't cut yourself. But it's fine. That's fine. That's the best thing. Always the original ovens and the original way of doing things is always the best. You know. Today they've got another thing. It's called induction. Induction. So now induction is an induction stove. So induction forms a certain issue because it doesn't, the induction area where it under the pot gets hot, but right next to the pot is not hot. So when it comes to the electric coils, you can only keep your pot on the electric coils. There's nowhere else to keep your pot. You're all fine because that electric coil is kashered every time. It's kashered between milk and meat if anything falls on it. It's kashered between chametz and pesach if anything falls on it. You don't have a problem. And when you come to an induction is like a glass top, correct? And the sides never get hot. So now anything that falls over there is a problem of chametz, the problem of milk and meat, because you can then put the pot on top of it. The next pot, if it milk falls under, then and you put meat on the stove, and then the meat pot just absorbs the milk. What's it for Pesach? What I tell people to do is I tell them to clean the glass that's at the top well, and then they get these silicone covers for the induction. They buy these silicone covers, and then that
silicone, not silicone.
Silicone. What's the difference?
The silicon end in America.
Silicon is the metal. Silicone is the rubber.
Ah, really? I guess that's silicone covers. So then, but then you're right. So then we have the next point, which is the counters. That's for the ovens. As I told you, microwave ovens, you can only kasher through steam, which we can kasher between milk and meat, even though you shouldn't kasher between milk and meat. But if something becomes milkic and you need to kasher it, so we'll do it through steam. But on Pesach, we're not going to rely that steam kashers. Even though I've heard that Reb Moshe Feinstein was Michael. But you know what? It's very difficult to clean the microwave oven in all the nooks and the crannies. And I would just suggest if somebody wants a microwave oven to buy one for Pesach. They're not that expensive. And you can get one for Pesach, and that would probably be the best thing. When it comes to the counters, all you need to do is clean the counters. If you can, kasher them after 24 hours with a kettle, a chometz kettle, maftof. If you can't, so it's too difficult, make a radin, you can just cover the counters, which is what we which is what we do. They have these very sophisticated covers that you can buy that were made in Germany last year. I think this year they're already being made in Israel. And it's a beautiful type of cover. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a type of plastic cover that sticks to the counter and it doesn't leave any marks. It's the best thing to use today because water doesn't get under it.
Well, they had an emergency last year, but everyone had a nightmare with. They couldn't get the stuff off.
This one comes up very easily, by the way.
But no, everyone has to give it a little. I think there's 20,000 refills to people in America.
Oh, way.
Oh, they've got a new formulation. It's the glue. They couldn't get the glue out.
Oh, he's my boy. Listen, it's
in the Mishpacha this week. They're advertising it.
This doesn't stick. The last year was very well. It has been very nice. And it makes it look nice. It makes it look nicer than the chometz counter. Listen, Avi, the basins, if you've got a basin, an earthenware basin, that's these white basins. So then you obviously can't clean it for you. You can't do anything with it on Pesach because you can't cash it earthenware. But if it's stainless steel, Mikaradin, you can take after 24 hours of use, you can take the kettle and pour boiling water over all areas of it and Mikaradin it kashes it. Similarly, the taps you'll switch on. Hot water will come out. When the hot water is coming out, you'll pour your hot kettle over the tops of it. And that's the way that you kush your basins. I always like to get an insert for Pesach. I just feel as what I've always done. You know, this is what Nehemiah normally says. That's what I do. That's what my mother did. That's what I do. And that's the end of it. Okay, that's what I like to do. Even though Me'ikar Adin, you can kasher it if it's stainless steel. The reason why I don't like it was it's very difficult to clean in the nooks and the crannies. That's what I like to get an insert for Pesach. It's just the way that I like to do it. Even though Me'ikar Adin, I can't say that somebody who does it, who kashers the stainless steel, is not doing anything. Incorrect. I think that when it comes to the Shabbos urns, if anybody put about kashering the Shabbos urns, Me'ikar Adin, if you didn't use the urn for chometz, you'd put it into soups or anything chometz, you don't have a problem kashering for Pesach. All you need to do is boil it up, make sure that it's clean. And then, you know, put the tap on and let it come boil out and just maybe pour some boiling water out of the tap. You can kasher it. I have many people, you know, when the platter's not working or your wife puts the challahs on the top of the Shabbos urn, and obviously that makes it chometz and you can't kasher it. Right? I think that works. These Tammy Albers that they have the hot water taps. Again, if people fill up their soups, make soups with the presence of which is chometz, you can't touch it. Basically, it's just making coffee or tea. That's less of a problem. Again, you do as I told you, as we discussed the Shabbos. That's with regard to the kashering of the kitchen. Has anybody got any questions before? We haven't got much time, at least now. Anybody got questions about what we discussed? I think that would cover. Don't forget to that your wife should check her. This is a very common thing that people forget to do. The wives who make dough on the Erev, you know, during the year, and they keep their rings on. They don't take off their rings, and that's why when they didn't tell us Yidane, they didn't have to take off their rings. If they should make sure that there's no dough stuck in the ring, you know, where the diamond goes in. Anytime underneath is a little hole in the ring where the diamond fits in. And there you can find dough stuck in it, correct? So that's something that, what about anybody that's got false teeth? Can you see, what does he do there? Because when he's false teeth, he eats some nice bagels. A hot sandbagers, right? So what's he going to do?
The bum cow.
We did Ibn Kalu, Ibn Khamr, right? It's never yet. So what we do is that we...
Alcohol.
What?
Alcohol.
Yeah. The... what you should do when it comes to the... when it comes to the teeth, correct?
Are they the teeth? Type of base off.
Yeah. Now, what you should do is you should stop eating chametz at least 24 hours before Pesach. I think it would be the best thing for all of us, probably, because, you know, everybody's got a filling. You know, some have gold fillings. That's their claim to riches, okay? But some of them have these amalgam. Most people have amalgam fillings. Once upon a time, they used gold. Today, they use amalgam fillings. And... But the Shulam Zalman says that the you don't eat 24 hours before, so then the Hevel HaPeh destroys any chometz that might be in the amalgam or in the false teeth. If they're real teeth, they don't swallow. The real teeth don't absorb. Okay, that's the false ones that do.
Yeah. Not eating. Is that just being hot?
Anything hot, yeah, or anything kharif for that matter. Carry that was cut.
You need a piece of bread.
You need a piece of bread, exactly. Something that's not charif and something that's not half. Okay. Can you see that? So now,
just hold on, my son is.
Hold on, 1 minute. Of the ones. Just watch the benches, right? The benches are going to change over. Benches of chometz should be using on Pesach. Because they usually stuck with chometz, and I think that basically ends the all the inyonim of the products and the kitchen.
I think a vibrating toothbrush would work very well on a ring, for example.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, especially if you want to change the toothbrush. So before you change the toothbrush, you can use it. Wouldn't be a kedai to use the toothbrush afterwards, Reb Moshe. And you see, it's actually a good idea. A very good idea. Okay, so what we've done over here, we've gone through the halachas of Erev Pesach till Erev Pesach. All we need to do is discuss the kidneys a bit. And then we're into the halachas of Leila Segel.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah.com.